Today is Friday, July 5th, 2024. Welcome back. So I'm going to start today like I did last time with a voicemail. We got a voicemail from Baron Frosty. So let's listen to that voicemail and then we will comment on what he had to say.
Hey, Archer, it's Baron Frosty calling. I wanted to call and say hello, and I was just listening to your most recent show, and I also wonder how much I'll hang out with my siblings after my mother goes, because really they're all kind of monsters, and we don't get along, and I don't know if I necessarily see the value in it, even though I know that hurts my mother. You know, I have to think about self-care. So I wanted to let you know that now that I'm unemployed, homeless, and living on the street, I'll try to call you more often. And as always, I'm listening. Thank you. Have a good summer. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for that call, Baron Frosty. Now, there's a couple things in there that he talked about. The first one being about seeing his family after his mother passes away. I don't think she's anywhere close to passing away, but, and if I remember correctly, he comes from a large family as well, like I do. And Baron Frosty, I'm just going to say that I think you need to rethink the idea of not hanging out with your brothers and sisters, because your mother would really like it if you could all get together, I'm sure. Maybe once a year, once every 2 years, something. And you have to just kind of put some stuff aside while you socialize with your family. It will be very difficult. And like you said, self-care, you have to not get yourself all like stressed out about it or worrying about who you're going to get in an argument with and stuff like that. You just think of it in the positive terms that you're going to get to see your brothers and sisters again after so long. I think you really only communicate with one of your sisters. I don't really know for sure. But I'm going to suggest, as I did with Dave in Texas, and like I said on my own podcast, for my mother's sake, she was really, as I said on the podcast, she was really worried that we would not get together. And we've gotten together a couple times now. And I think she's, wherever she is happy with that. So I'm just going to say, I think you should rethink it and, consider, we're not getting any younger. I don't know where you are in the pecking order of your siblings, but I'm number 6 out of 7. My oldest sister is turning 65 in September. So we're not getting any younger. I've got health issues and, I guess my other brothers and sisters have health issues too, but nothing like we're going to die or anything. Unless I have a heart attack, then I could die from that. But anyway, enough about that. So anyway, that's what I would suggest for you, Baron Frosty. And also, you were talking about being jobless, homeless, and living on the street. Well, I know that you're not living on the street, because I do follow you on Facebook, so I see your stuff. You're having a good time hanging out with your friends and stuff. However, I think I would be a little nervous not having a job. I know you've got plenty of savings and you're probably going to be just fine, but having a job I don't have a job, but I have a great pension. So I'm a little worried about you with the job thing, because I know it was miserable for you for months and you were ready to just like give it up, because I've seen your stuff on Facebook. But I think I would have waited until I had another job before I quit that one. But, that's just me, because I'm very conservative when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I want to make sure that I have plenty of money and, all that stuff. I mean, I had the same job for 30 years, so, it's different. But anyway, I hope that you do get a job soon and wish you the best of luck. And I hope you do not have to sell your condo and live on the street. So, good luck to you. And I hope you have a great summer, too. And that would be great if you could call in. Now, I need some clarification, Baron Frosty, because I heard on Big Fatty's show that you guys put out another episode of Blime Time or Blime Guides, or I don't even really know the name of your podcast anymore, but he said it was like 13 minutes of silence or something like that. So are you guys back to podcasting? I don't know. You need to, everybody wants to know. So let me know. Put it on Twitter or something, because we're all curious. Anyway. Thanks again for the phone call. And you can call anytime you like. I appreciate it very much. That also helps save my number yet again for another, whatever it is, 3 months, 6 months, whatever. So I do appreciate that. Okay, moving on. So at the last podcast, I told you that this past weekend we were going to Boston. Well, we did. Actually, a week ago today, we went to Boston and for a baptism. I'll just tell you a little bit about the trip. So on Friday, we got to the airport. I was going to say, I like to get to the airport early. Even if I have to sit in the terminal for an hour before the plane comes, I would rather be there, comfortable, and not, you know, panic or anything, because, you know, I have my heart issue. So I'm going to keep playing that up. Anyway, my husband isn't as worried about that kind of stuff, because he flies 3 or 4 times a year, so he doesn't have an issue with that. Well, he also has, he's paid for TSA PreCheck. So I did not, because I, as I said on the podcast, I have not flown since 2018. So I was a little nervous, I have to tell you, I was a little nervous. And we were flying coach, so it's going to be like, you know, sardines in a can. And we were going on JetBlue, which I've never flown before. So I was a little nervous, a little, you know, anxious, I guess. And then when we got into the airport, I checked my bag because we shared one suitcase between the two of us. So it was a really big suitcase. We had to check it. Anyway, then we were walking to the place where you go through the security, and his came up first, this TSA PreCheck, and he just went there. And then I had to walk a little bit farther to go through the regular TSA security checkpoint, whatever. And I didn't have any, like, I wasn't bringing any carry-on or anything. It was just the stuff I had in my pocket. So I was literally just standing in line with my boarding pass and my license, my, you know, ID. And the line took 35 minutes to get through. Granted, by the time I got through it, we still had a good 25 minutes before the plane was boarding. So, I mean, it was okay, but I don't like to cut it that close because I wanted to go to the bathroom. I wanted to get some snacks. I wanted to be able to sit down. And, you know, it was hot as hell this past weekend. And I start sweating the second we walk out the door. And I was miserable. I was like hot and sticky and sweaty and standing in that line for 35 minutes and sweating and just, they must have thought I had a bomb or something because I was sweating and looking probably, you know, suspicious, but they didn't. I gave them my license. They fed it into the little ID check thing, whatever. I don't even know what it is. It takes a picture of you and it compares it to your license and says, yes, this is the same person, whatever. So I got through that fine. I had to take off my shoes, empty out all my pockets. And then I went, you know, you put all that crap in a bin and the bin goes through. Well, the bin thing was going really slow. So like 6 of us went through the security and our stuff had not gone through the thing. We're all kind of standing around. But also when, you know, they have that, the security thing where you walk in, you have to hold up your hands and spread your feet. And I walked in when they told me to walk in and I did what they said. And then the guy says, step out, you got to do it again. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I don't have anything in my pocket. I don't have any medal. I'm not wearing a belt. I took off my watch. I mean, I didn't have anything. So that instantly makes my heart start pounding. So I go back in there, ran it again, no problem, walked out. And then I had to wait in my sock feet on that nasty floor to get my shoes and put everything back on. So I was, you know, my mood is already starting to go because I'm a little bit anxious. I'm a little nervous. You know, got through there, and my husband's texting me the whole time. He goes, are you through the line yet? And I'm like, no, I'm still in the line. He went through TSA PreCheck in like 30 seconds, and I was in there for like 35 minutes. So anyway, I got through there, I got my shoes on, then I met him at the other end, and then we walked to the terminal and found the right gate that we're supposed to be at, and I bought some snacks and we sat down for a couple minutes and then literally, I swear it was like 5 minutes and then they said, okay, we're going to start boarding. And luckily we were in the second group B, I guess. I really don't know exactly how all this stuff works with the flights and all, but we were in the second group, got in there, got our seats, and it wasn't as claustrophobic as I was thinking it was going to be. The seats are very close, I will say that. But the flight was short, luckily. We actually got there 30 minutes early, which is, I think that's unbelievable. But they had said it was going to be like an hour and 40-minute flight from D.C. to Boston. Well, it ended up being just like over an hour, hour and 7 minutes or something like that. And when they were getting ready for landing, they said, you'll be happy to know that we're coming in for a landing, whatever, and we're here 30 minutes early, so y'all would be very happy. And then people were, you know, like, you could hear people talking like, oh, that's good, that's, you know, anything. So the takeoff was fine, the flight was fine, there was not any major turbulence or anything. The landing was fine. We did have to sit on the tarmac, I guess, until they had a gate open for us, which I think that's like the biggest thing. Well, I will say this. As soon as the plane lands and we're taxiing towards wherever, people start standing up and grabbing their suitcases and stuff. I'm like, y'all need to just sit down because this plane's not going. It was a good 20 minutes before they, you know, got us to the actual gate and started unboarding or whatever. And I don't like those people when they do that because they start getting me nervous. And I know it sounds like I'm a nervous Nelly, but I do not like to fly. I don't like the whole process from getting an Uber to the airport that costs like $40. And then, you know, I just don't like all those different steps you have to go through. So anyway, we got to Boston, no problem. We took a taxi from Logan Airport we were staying in Newton, which is like, I don't know, 10 minutes from downtown Boston. It was a $59 taxi ride. I'm just like, man, this is going to be an expensive fucking weekend. Because we had chosen to go on a relatively cheap flight. It was only $279 to fly up there. And that's round trip. So I thought that was a pretty good flight. Anyway, so we got there, took a cab to the hotel. I unpacked my stuff right away because I didn't want my suit because we were going to as I said, a baptism on Saturday, and I didn't want my suit to be all wrinkled. So as soon as we got there, I opened the suitcase and hung up, you know, all my shirts and stuff, and like basically unpacked. I leave it to my husband to do the reservation for the hotel, and this was a teeny tiny room in the it was the Four Points Sheraton in Newton. I mean, the hotel was nice. It was, I don't know if it was renovated or what, but it was very nice. But just the room was so small. You had like a bed, two side tables, a chair and a lamp and a desk. And that was it. Well, actually they did have they didn't have a closet, but they had like an armoire. So that's where I hung up my stuff. So of course I'm sweating because I walk in there and it was, I guess by the time we got to Boston, it was cooler than it was in D.C. when we left. However, it's cooler outside. Inside, when we walked into the room, they had the heat on. And I was like, oh, my God. And the sweat is just pouring off my face. I am a sweater. I don't know if that's a medical condition or not. But in my family, all of my brothers and sisters, we all sweat like crazy. My mother always did. My father didn't, but my mother was always sweating. So I was hot. Literally, that first 24 hours, I was so hot and sweaty. I was cranky. So we go down to the restaurant, and because by this time it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock. And my husband's like, let's just get a glass of wine and calm down. And so we went to the bar, had a glass of wine. And then while we were sitting there, we're like, well, it's like 5:45 now. Why don't we go ahead and eat dinner? So we ate dinner in the restaurant and shared a bottle of wine then. And then while we're sitting there, of course, the tipsier I get, the more things get on my nerves. So we got into a little fight, and, you know, not fight, argument, and about stupid things. And so he like went off and went to a bar and had another glass of wine. And I stayed at the restaurant bar and had another glass of wine. So we were a little bit lit because I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I can drink and then just go to bed. But, so then we were like mad at each other for several hours and then went to bed and we weren't talking. And then the next morning, he was like, I'm so sorry made you feel miserable about, you know, not being able to control the air conditioning because the room was so hot. And he is from a hot state, from Louisiana. So he is used to the heat, and it just didn't bother him. Well, I'm just sweating. I sat in front of the air conditioning for a couple hours, and just, you know, the next morning I was like, luckily the temperature was like 67 degrees, which was perfect. So, took a shower, got dressed. Actually, we went down to breakfast first, and they had a nice breakfast, nice breakfast bar. Like I love breakfast food. So I was having a bagel and eggs and bacon and, all kinds of good stuff. So I filled myself up pretty well. I was not hungover or anything like that. It was just a normal eating day. So then we went back to the room, showered, put on my suit, and then he showered and put on his suit, and then we went to the baptism. This little church, it was like 20 minutes away, and it was a Armenian. I don't know if it's Catholic or Presbyterian. I have no idea. Anyway, we went there. We met the lesbian couple, and they brought their kids, of course. And both of their parents came. There was only like about maybe 12 people there in the entire thing. So my husband was the godfather, so he had to like wear this special robe or whatever. And he went back with the priest or father or whatever they called him. And he learned what he had to do for the ceremony and stuff. And then they were like, okay, let's go ahead and get started. So they went through the whole process. There's praying and there's, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the priest talks. And then they take the baby, who's 1 year old now. But they took him in and took off his clothes except for his diaper and dipped him in the baptism water. And that kid started screaming. And my husband was supposed to be holding him, and the little kid was trying to get away, and it was interesting. And of course, I was sweating the whole time because it was hot in the church too. And I've got a suit on, so anyway. But we had made up and you know, said everything's going to be fine. We're, you know, sorry we got on each other's nerves last night, but you know, we're here for the weekend, so let's be good. So we were fine after that, and then excuse me. The baptism went well. Everything went fine. Excuse me. And then afterwards, they were having a lunch at this, it's called the Wayside Inn. And it was out in Sudbury. It was close to Sudbury, Massachusetts. Well, it was like a 40-minute drive. And we didn't have a car. So all these people were getting in their cars and driving away. And we're like, oh, I guess we're going to take an Uber. And it cost $50 to drive out in an Uber. And the guy got lost one time. It was like a comedy of errors. But by the time we got there, the girls, the lesbians, they weren't even there yet. So we didn't feel so bad. And then we had a really nice lunch at this Wayside Inn. And the Wayside Inn has been an inn/restaurant since 1716. And they had like the history on the back of the menu and stuff. And I was reading that. And it was licensed in 1716 and has been continuously an inn and restaurant since 1716. I just found that amazing. And the building was old, but they had other buildings added on to it and stuff. And they had the history of the different people who've owned it over the years and stuff. And supposedly Longfellow, what's his name? I can't think of his name, but They've called it the Longfellow Wayside Inn because this guy, the famous writer or whatever, Longfellow, I swear to God, I don't really know the history. He frequented that restaurant a lot in the time that he was around in the whatever mid-1700s or whatever. So anyway, we had a wonderful lunch. It was delicious. Everybody was like talking about the ceremony and, you know, just, you know, we're having a good time. And then they had a delicious cake. Oh my God, the cake was so good. Do you remember when buttercream frosting was a big thing in the 70s and 80s and maybe even early 90s before grocery stores went to that whipped cream icing? Well, this was an old-fashioned buttercream frosting with a two-layer cake with a chocolate layer and a vanilla layer. And oh my God, it was so good. I wanted to have another piece, but I'm like, I can't be a pig. So I shared a piece with my husband. That was all we had. Then they toured around the property. They had like a grist mill and a a farm shop and different shopping areas and stuff. And they, I was just sitting on the bench because I was hot and it was a nice cool breeze. That was a really nice day in terms of humidity and temperature. So they all went around. I just sat on the bench and waited for them. And then a couple who we met when the lesbians got married, or we met the wife, I should say, she and her husband offered us a ride back to Newton and we totally took them up on it. Well, I don't know how he went differently, but it only took 20 minutes to get back to the hotel. So our Uber driver was horrible getting us there, but going home, it was fine. And then we kind of got into some, because this was like, actually it ended up being all day. It was like 4 o'clock by the time we got back to the hotel. And we changed into shorts and comfortable clothes, and I was starting to cool off. And then we went down to the bar and had a glass of wine, and then we ate dinner there again at the bar. And I had fish and chips, which, you know, in New England, that's like one of the things you do. So, and it was good. Oh my God, it was good. And I don't remember what my husband had, but we had another bottle of wine. And then we, by that time, we were trying to figure out a bar or a wine bar not too far from the hotel that we could just walk to and have another glass of wine. Well, I did some research on my phone really quick because, you know, my husband's not the best with geography. So I found they had a blah, blah, blah. Or this one. Downtown. They had a Bertucci's, which is like a Italian restaurant with mostly does pizza. And they had a bar there. So it was about an 8-minute walk from the hotel. So we, and it was a beautiful, as I said, beautiful weather still on Saturday evening. And we walked to there, to that bar, had a glass of wine, talked to the bartender a little bit, and they were closing at 9:30. So we were like, yeah, we should probably go back to the hotel. So we went back to the hotel. I watched some Forensic Files on TV while my husband was playing on his laptop. And then we went to bed and I had a great night's sleep that night. And then Sunday, since we were all done with the baptism stuff, Sunday was our day to do some sightseeing. So of course the weather totally changed. It was like 1,000,000% humidity and it was like 95 degrees. But we said, we're going to go anyway. So we took an Uber to, first of all, to Harvard, because I have never been to Harvard, the university, Harvard University. And we walked the campus and you could download this app that would take you around and tell you about the buildings. Like it would know where you are. So like when we would walk towards a building, I would get a ding on my watch and would say, you've reached the Wigglesworth Hall or whatever. And then you could read on the app on your phone the history of the building or what it currently housed, like if they were student housing or if it was an academic building and so forth. So we did that for a good long time, but we were just drenched in sweat. So we left because we were actually on the campus, like in the quad area. I don't know, there's grassy areas with buildings all around. Beautiful campus, beautiful, beautiful. Then we walked across the street where like shops were, and we got something to drink and cooled off. And then we decided we would go to, what was the second place we went to? I can't remember. I should look at my pictures because that would tell me. We took an Uber to, was it the, let me see. After Harvard, we went to, Faneuil Hall. It's like the old, building in Boston. It's like the old courthouse or whatever, but it had been converted into a whole bunch of shops. So we went and toured that around a little bit and then went through all the shops. And then we were hungry, so we stopped and had at the Salty Dog Oyster and something brewery or whatever. And I had a hamburger there, and my husband had a crab cake and scallops, I think. And it was fun, but we had to sit outside and it was so fucking hot. Oh no, he had oysters. He was having oysters, not scallops. After that, we said, let's at least try one more thing before we totally get exhausted from the heat. And I said, well, I would really like to go see the Paul Revere House, which was not that far away, but we still needed an Uber to take us there. So we jumped in an Uber and went to the Paul Revere House. and toured that. It was like $6. I couldn't believe how cheap it was to go through this place. But the building is still standing from whenever it was originally built. And it's gone through some, you know, some restorations to take it back to the original. Because after that, after Paul Revere lived in it, it became a boarding house and several other things before they took over the building and turned it back into the actual house that Paul Revere lived in. And there were only like four rooms in the whole place, but they were big rooms. And upstairs, they had like this a sleeping chamber. And Paul Revere, over at the time that he lived there, supposedly had 16 children. But there was only, well, there was only one bed in this second room. The main bedroom, or back then they would call it the master bedroom. They had a nice big bed, and there was a docent in there telling you about, you know, the living conditions and what they had done to, you know, restore the place back to the original way it looked. And so we toured that. They have downstairs and upstairs. And then we were just so hot and sticky. I said, are you ready to go back to the hotel? My husband was like, yes. So we went back to the hotel and just kind of relaxed until it was dinner time. And then we ate in the bar again. And this time I wasn't that hungry because we had lunch not that too long ago. So I just had a thing of French fries. And my husband had like a flatbread pizza. Well, it wasn't really a pizza. It was like just a flatbread. And I didn't really like it because it had chunks of tomatoes and chunks of garlic on it. And I'm like, I'm just going to have French fries. So then we went back to the room and kind of just relaxed for the rest of the evening because we had to fly out the next day. So, and our flight was at noon. So we had to, you know, get to the airport again, because I don't know how long I'm going to have to go through security. But luckily, it wasn't that bad. We ended up paying $15 to JetBlue to do their expedited security. And they literally, behind where their desk, their counter is, where you check your bag and you get your boarding pass, if you need, because I had to print out another boarding pass. Then literally right behind that, they had a security point, and there was like four people in line. So I was like, oh my God, this is great. So we got through there in plenty of time, got to the gate, and then we had time to sit for a while before the flight. And I was able to cool off a little bit. And then we got on the plane. We had the exact same seats going home that we did coming there. So it was, you know, already familiar. It was another quick flight, although this time I think it was like an hour and 15 minutes, but it was still a quick flight. Got home and, you know, I think we were back to our house by like 3 or 4 o'clock, something like that, because the flight was at noon and it went until about 1:15. Then, yeah, it was probably about 3:30 or 4 when we got home. And we both said, oh, it feels good to be home. I'm like, I'll be glad to sleep in my own bed and shower in my own bathroom and so forth. You know, because I do not travel very much at all. So I am really used to my comforts of home, that kind of thing. So I was very comfortable. So that was our trip to Boston. And I've been talking for almost 30 minutes. So I think I better stop. I'm trying to think, I'll just say one more thing. I was going to podcast yesterday on 4th of July, but my head was reeling in the Supreme Court decision about Trump's immunity. And like, I still don't fully grasp exactly what this means for all of his court cases. I know some things will go through, but other things are on hold. And it's just like, the Supreme Court has screwed us. Anyway, I was in such a, like, not a good mood yesterday because of that. And I was trying to celebrate the 4th of July. And I watched the series from the History Channel called The Presidents, but it's not current. It was from a time like when they had, when the History Channel actually made real documentaries and they had a legitimate channel. Anyway, I had downloaded those years ago and I just rewatched them and learned about the presidents and stuff, which makes me feel a little better when I see, stuff that happened from other presidents and how the country does come back from it. So I'm hoping that whatever I'm feeling about this horrible Supreme Court ruling, that eventually things will get back to normal. And I know I've been going on. about Biden at the debate and how he did not come off very well at all. It doesn't matter. He's our only choice. We have to vote for him. If you have to just swallow that, and the only way we can keep it democratic is vote for Biden. No matter what you think about him, vote for Biden. Do not vote for Trump, one, and do not not vote. You know what I'm saying? You have to vote. And you have to vote for Biden, period. And if he doesn't make it in his second term, we've got Kamala Harris. People are not very happy with her either, but you know what? She will be 100 times better than Trump. Anyone would be better than Trump. I've got all this politics floating around my head, and my husband and I were talking last night at dinner time all about this, and I explained to him, like, I really don't even understand the ruling and how they're going to determine what are official acts versus him breaking the law. I mean, you know. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that any more than that. So anyway, I hope you guys all had a great 4th. We ended up watching the fireworks on the PBS show and then went to bed. So that's where we are up to today. And I have no idea what we're going to do this weekend. So we'll see. All right. So thanks for listening. Thanks for staying subscribed. And Baron Frosty, thanks for calling. And I encourage anyone else to call too. 202-709-3029. Call the voice letter line or leave comments on the website too. Let me know what you did for the 4th. All right, that's all I have for today. So until next time, bye.